A very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So tonight is 3rd of November 2020, and today is Tuesday. Yeah? So we will be continuing with our Heart Sutta. We are at the tail end of the sharing. Hopefully after today we finish. Yeah? We are at page 252, Heart Sutta, 2nd edition. We have finished the Avijja sequence, the ignorance sequence. So this Avijja Sutta is very good, very complete. So today we shall continue with the second sequence, which is the enlightenment sequence. So after I explain the enlightenment sequence, I will link the two so that you all can understand. Yeah? Because the Avijja sequence, you realize there are only 9 stages. Whereas the enlightenment cycle, there are 10 steps or stages. So I will explain them to you. Yeah? Just relax body and mind. Yeah? Be completely at ease. Then we shall have our usual half an hour of awareness-based meditation. So this meditation is to develop with understanding. And the easiest way to develop it is relax, maintain awareness for as long as you can. Technically, it's 24 hours. The first 3 support of the 4 support for awareness-based meditation. First, relax body and mind completely at ease. Means free your mind, make your body relax completely at ease. No stress, no tension, no fear, no worry, no anxiety, nothing. Because you tell your mundane mind, have mercy on me. Let me have this half an hour to meditate, to train my mind, to calm down my mind, to be at ease, so that I can stabilize my awareness nature within, so that my mind can become peaceful and calm, so that I can meditate to develop the wisdom and the understanding. Then whatever the mind may want you to do, you tell the mind later. After the 30 minutes, after the meditation, or after my class finish, I will attend to it. Then you don't have to worry about problems. Don't have to worry about unfinished business, thing that you need to do and all those things. So in future, if you scared, you forget, you can write it down on a notebook or piece of paper so that you don't have to like want to recall all the thing dangling at the back of your mind, keep on coming up to disturb you or haunt you. That's why people cannot meditate. Yeah, they are not at ease. They cannot be at peace. They got so much thing to worry about, to attend to. You can attend to it, but do it mindfully, with wisdom and understanding. Do not worry about things. Things is just the way it is. When you are at peace, there is clarity. There is no fear, worry, anxiety. You do not go and worry about that thing. So meditation needs this understanding so that you can really relax into it and enjoy your meditation. Usually meditation is something very useful and very easy to do when you understand. And you can do it with a lot of joy. That's why I got one guy, the last one, he always tell me, enjoy. Not the type of enjoyment, the what they call mundane type, or they call it the materialistic type, like you go and enjoy yourself, make yourself happy, gratify yourself. No. Yeah, enjoy means be at peace and experience the joy, the peacefulness, the calm, the tranquility, the stillness. Means the mind is very quiet, very tranquil, very peaceful, and very still. That is the meditative mind, that one can meditate and can understand anything. That's why you just silence yourself and enjoy that state. Feel the peace, feel the joy. The joy arises where there is no problem. There is only peace, tranquility, stillness. You don't have to think, to worry about life. So all this is part and parcel of understanding to develop the meditation so that you can do it well. Then you can extend this mind state into your daily life. You become beautiful. So I repeat, relax, maintain awareness for as long as you can, and if possible, 24 hours. Then for those who have developed stability of mindfulness and awareness, you can silence everything and stay around the heart area. Then let the awareness detect the gateway. Then when it detects, you just be with it, relax into it, like your heartbeat or whatever vibration around your heart area. Let it detect by itself. Then stay with it, relax into it, maintain awareness. Then see what happens. Then if you really finally located that gateway, you will come to understand what the gateway is. Yeah, it's like the yin-yang energy from outside. They just soothingly melt into it. Then like Po Cheng says, it's like a tunnel. Open up and that energy melt into it and become pure energy. Then that one, the fourth support is required. Then you don't do anything. Just trust that nature to do. And let the whatever movement happen by itself. You don't go and direct it. Don't go and focus and concentrate and do things. Trust means let the nature do. Then that one will move. That one will move. Different time, it will do different things. And it will activate whatever that need to activate by itself, it move. And later on, when your nature open up, after your pure energy come out from that gateway, initially the yin yang energy from outside melt into it, soothing, very soothing, you feel very good, very quiet. Then you can also be aware of what happened when it melt inside, it become pure energy. And what does the pure energy do to activate your internal movement? You can see that, you can be aware and you understand. Then you realize that one is without any suppression or control or without any mind involved. That's why it is already that pure energy, that wisdom energy, that know how to direct things and naturally unfold. That is the fourth support. Trust. Trust your nature to do. Don't get your mundane mind involved. We are at page 252 of the Heart Sutta, second edition, Appendix 8, the Abhijja Sutta. We have finished the first part. First part is about the ignorance sequence. Abhijja is ignorant. So the sutta on Abhijja, this one we have covered. There are 9 steps or stages. How a being actually completely become heedless and fall into ignorance. So just for revision, the ignorance cycle, of course, will start with Abhijja, ignorant. And once a living being has ignorant, that being doesn't understand truth, doesn't have Vijja. Instead, they have Abhijja. So Abhijja with the A in front is the opposite of Vijja, means there is no understanding of truth, of the nature's law that governs life and existence, so they make mistakes. That's why they become heedless. And the Buddha said the nutriment for this is the result of the five mental hindrances. These five mental hindrances are mental states that hinders your mind from entering the meditative states of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. And these mental hindrances, they arise due to lack of the opposite five. The Buddha called the spiritual faculties, which are mind states that can allow you to understand spiritual teaching. That's why they are called spiritual faculties. When you have them, it helps you overcome the five mental hindrances. So the lack of the opposite five, which are the spiritual faculty, give rise to the mental hindrance. And dependent on this five mental hindrance, the new treatment for it is the three way of wrong conduct or bad conduct. Means you lack vijja, you have ignorance, you don't understand life, you don't understand the law of karma, the nature's law that governs life and existence. So what you do? You become heedless. You simply do things. You don't have sense restraint. So upon sense experience, at the moment of sense experience, you simply act, speak, and think with a deluded mind, unwholesome mind. It has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. And when you do that, the evil root condition the five mental hindrance to hinder your mind from entering the meditative state. And the reason for this is, the Buddha said, you lack sense restraint. The reason why you lack sense restraint is because you lack mindfulness. You lack the training of sati sampajana. So mindfulness and clear comprehension is the condition for you to develop all the unrestrained of senses. Then the new treatment for lack of mindfulness and lack of clear comprehension is you don't have clear understanding of life. You don't have wise attention at the moment of sense experience. Means you have instead ayoniso manasikara, which is unwise attention. At the moment of sense experience, you don't have understanding, you don't have wisdom, you cannot deal with life. You always get yourself entangled because of your ignorant avijja. And the new treatment for this is the lack of faith in the Buddha and his teaching in the Triple Gem. And the new treatment for this is you do not listen to the true Dhamma, the teaching of the Buddha. The Dhamma which are truth that you need to understand. So the teaching of the Buddha is called Dhamma, and he teach truth, nothing else. That's why the essence of his teaching is the Four Noble Truths. These are exceptional truth. You know, when you understand them, the Four Noble Truths, you can become noble ones or enlightened ones. That's why it's called Noble Truth. So not listening to the true Dhamma is the cause of not able to develop the right understanding, to develop the wisdom at the moment of sense experience, the initial wisdom which the Buddha called yoniso manasikara. Then the new treatment or the reason for you not to listen to the true Dhamma is because you didn't associate yourself with good Dhamma friends, or spiritual friends, or noble friends, or what we call kayanamitas. So that is the fundamental root cause. Not having Dhamma friends, spiritual friends, and noble friends is the main cause. So here you look at the whole avijja sequence. You actually start off with not having good Dhamma friends, or spiritual friends, or noble friends. It's the starting nutriment for the wrong path that finally end up with ignorance, leading to heedlessness, suffering, and misery. So now we can see the importance of having Dhamma friends. That's the reason why when I started to teach, when I decide and make that decision to come out to share the Dhamma, the understanding that my nature has with the world, I decided to call this grouping my Kayamita grouping, so that we can have the condition to actually start the cultivation leading to the enlightenment sequence. If we don't have Kayamita shape, we will not have the spiritual life. We are according to the Buddha. Kayamita shape is 100% of the spiritual life. So we need to start from there. So Kayamita shape is a very important factor in life. In fact, it is also one of the prerequisites for successful cultivation leading to enlightenment. Without Kayamita shape, there can be no enlightenment. We are without true Kayamita, spiritual friend, noble friends, or Dhamma friends. You will not have condition to listen to the true Dhamma. You cannot listen to the true Dhamma. How can you develop the faith in the Buddha and his teaching? How can you develop understanding of his teaching? So all this will fall apart. That's the reason why Kayamita shape is 100% of the spiritual life, the holy life. And this one you must bear in mind. Do not underestimate the value of Dhamma friends, Kayamita shape. And the website and our sharing, they were planned and prepared based on this understanding. That's the reason why that day when I share through the Zoom video for our gathering of Kayamita, the 16th anniversary, I read to you the reason why we set up this grouping and the website, the purpose and intent leading to all the understanding. We also share about the Avijja Sutta. We also share about the attributes of true Kayamitas. Kayamitas are Dhamma friends that walk the path of Dhamma sincerely to develop the enlightenment, the awakening. And this grouping are just a group of sincere people who share the same intent to actually cultivate the Dhamma, walk the path of Dhamma, to realize enlightenment so that we can be a blessing to all, so that we can understand life and live life and benefit living beings. So that is the main intent and purpose of life. For there is no other more noble intent or ideal to live life. All of your materialistic ambition, your whatever goal or motive in life, if it's non-spiritual, is only temporary. You may realize it, you may achieve it. Then to you, you think you can have the joy, the happiness, and all those things. And this is what you want. But ultimately, you fail to understand life because you didn't take care of karma. Then when you come again to rebirth, you will suffer. You will become miserable again. For you don't understand life. Then the other thing about materialistic goal is, When you are able to be successful, you think you will be happy. You think it will give you status, financial freedom, great honor and reputation. But if you were to do a reality check, you realize a lot of these people who are successful, they end up miserable. Even the actors, the actresses, they end up miserable. Then some Nobel Prize winner, their personal life are miserable. They are not really happy. And then also we have successful entrepreneur and others, and not everyone has good life and happy life, but they lack the spiritual understanding of life to complement their life. So we can see all this in nature, in life itself. So Dhamma has its beauty. It not only let you understand life, it let you have the wisdom to live life so that you don't have to suffer anymore, so that you can develop the great enlightenment to be free from all suffering. Then this enlightenment can enable you to understand life and live the noble life of an enlightened being. Then you can do what you want. You can experience life to the fullest. You can experience all of the pristine beauty and wonders of life. Then you can travel. You can really, maybe I use the word in a proper way, enjoy life. Enjoy life is not to be heedless, not to indulge. Enjoy life means to live, to truly understand and live. Appreciate life, have contentment, have love, have compassion, have joy, have the heedfulness to be peaceful, to be at peace with all situations, to experience the tranquility, the stillness of mind state, to really have the ability to be at peace with all situations, anywhere, anytime, any place. So this is the beauty. Now we move on to the last sequence, which is the enlightenment sequence. So enlightenment sequence is the second sequence of Avijja Sutta. So according to the Buddha, true knowledge and vision of the reality, or Avijja, means understanding the truth, leading to enlightenment. The nutriment for this is, you must have the seven factors of enlightenment, the Buddha said. Satta Bhujanga. And these seven factors of enlightenment we have gone through. So I will just go through with you in a very general manner. First enlightenment factor, the Buddha said, we must develop a stable sati, or mindfulness, or awareness within. Without sati, the first factor of enlightenment, he said, you cannot develop the second factor of enlightenment. But the second factor of enlightenment is Dhamma Vichaya, or investigation of Dhamma, the truth, the teaching that the Buddha has taught us. So to do that, to investigate into truth, you need sati, the first factor of enlightenment. That's why the first factor of enlightenment can lead to the second factor of enlightenment. Then when you investigate into Dhamma, and the Dhamma that the Buddha has taught us stand up to investigation, we develop a type of faith, joy. Then our faith in the Buddha and his teaching become unshakable. Then it will drive us to cultivate. Then when we cultivate, we develop sati, mindfulness. When we develop sati, our mind become calm. Our mind become peaceful. Then we will experience piti. Piti is the fourth factor of enlightenment. Then the third factor of enlightenment is, after the second factor of enlightenment, Dhamma Vichaya investigation or Dhamma, we are able to confirm the Buddha's teaching and stand up to investigation. We develop the virya, the spiritual zeal, the tenacity to walk this way, to cultivate the teaching. That's how the third factor, enlightenment, virya, spiritual zeal, Z-E-A-L, or tenacity to walk this way to an understanding arise. And when you do it, you develop sati. When sati stabilizes, you experience piti. And piti is a fourth enlightenment factor. Piti is spiritual joy, spiritual peacefulness, spiritual calmness, the beginning of a calm mind. When you are mindful without thought, your mind is peaceful, calm, and tranquil. And if it's the first time you experience it, there is a type of joy, a deep joy. They call it spiritual joy. Sometimes, if it's the first time or first few times you experience it, it's like something rapture in your mind. They call it spiritual rapture. And this is a very nice feeling because it's without thought, it's just aware, and you feel very good. Then after that, you continue to relax, silence your mind, and don't do anything. Piti will be transformed into what they call more refined peace or mind state, leading to the experience of sukhang or blissfulness of mind. But this sukhang is not an enlightenment factor, so be careful, do not attach, do not cling, just continue to relax into it and maintain awareness. Then what happens is, from sukhang, it will transform further until the mind becomes very quiet and very still, until it is a free mind without movement, without thought, without activity. That is the fifth enlightenment factor. Paucity. The Buddha called it paucity. When you stabilize this paucity, it becomes the sixth enlightenment factor, samadhi. When you have sati and samadhi, you can see things as they are. You can insight into phenomena. You can develop the observation to awaken, to understand. Yeah, this is the silent mind. This is your true mind. So sati, paucity, and samadhi, they are the various stability of your true mind. So when you have that, you will awaken. You will develop the understanding. That's how the last factor of enlightenment arises, upeka. Upeka means equanimity of mind, born of wisdom. So when you can see things as they are, when you can insight into phenomena, the last spiritual faculty, panya, wisdom will arise. And when wisdom arises, your mind develops equanimity without the need of jhana or concentration. Once the wisdom is connected, that free mind, that mundane mind, can become at peace. It will not stir. It will not waver. It will not be deluded. There is no more avijja. That's how you develop the seven factors of enlightenment. And when these seven factors of enlightenment arise, you will become enlightened. Because they are mind factor that is responsible for enlightenment and awakening. That's why they are very beautiful enlightenment factor. And according to the Buddha, the nutriment for these seven factors of enlightenment is the result of your cultivation of the four foundations of mindfulness, sati, patthana. So these four foundations of mindfulness, you develop the training of your mindfulness on this fourfold foundation. Sometimes people call it the four bases of foundation. So foundation can be used. because it is like the base for you to arise. Mm. The first foundation, the Buddha said, make use of all kaya to develop mindfulness of our bodily activity, movement, vibration. So he called it kaya nupassana. Then the second foundation is feeling, mindfulness of feeling. We call it vedana nupassana. We have gone through all this. The third foundation is citta nupassana. Citta is mind state, the thought, content of consciousness within the mundane mind state. So when you are able to be mindful of that, you become sensitive. You will have very stable mindfulness. Then finally, you can become mindful of Dhamma. The last foundation is Dhamma Nupassana. So when you cultivate these four foundations of enlightenment, or four foundations of mindfulness, the seven factors of enlightenment keep on arising. Then you know you are on the right path. If your cultivation doesn't bring about the seven factors of enlightenment, then you are on the wrong path. That's why the Buddha, in the opening sentence of the four foundations of mindfulness, he told the monk, Ekayano Pikawe Biko. He said, O monk, this is the only way for the overcoming of sorrow and lamentation, leading to the enlightenment in the here. Namely, the four foundation of mindfulness. That's why this is the only way. If you don't do this, you cannot awaken to become anagami and arahant. But to become sotapan and sakadagami, first and second stage of sainthood, you don't need the four foundation of mindfulness. Through normal cultivation, you can realize it. That's the reason why the Buddha said the nutriment for the ability to develop this four foundation of mindfulness is you must have stabilized your practice, your cultivation, until you are capable of arising the three way of right conduct or good conduct. Mind, body and speech means you are able to have right thought, right speech, right action. The three way of right conduct. And the new treatment for this is you must have restraint of the sense faculty. Because you don't have this ability, you can't. And the new treatment for the arising of sense restraint is mindfulness and clear comprehension. If you don't have a very stable mindfulness and the four type of clear comprehension, you cannot have sense restraint because you don't have sensitivity of mind. And the new treatment for arising mindfulness and clear comprehension is to have the initial wisdom, yoniso manasikara, or wise attention at the moment of sense experience. And this yoniso manasikara come from our three turning wisdom. First turning, listening to the Dhamma. Second turning, after you have listened, you must reflect, contemplate and inquire into the Dhamma. And the third turning is meditative. So when this initial wisdom arises, wise attention at the moment of sense experience, it will prompt you every moment of sense experience, because you have mindfulness and clear comprehension. That mindfulness can make you aware. Then this yoniso manasikara, they will arise. Then you know how to act. Otherwise, you will stir your mind, you will react with habitual tendency, like and dislike, thereby creating endless sensual desire and evil, clinging on to pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. That's why without yoniso manasikara, wise attention at the moment of sense experience, you don't have space between thought. You cannot be mindful for long because you become heedless very fast. Sensual desire, you will, which are conditioned by your habitual tendency, which is reaction of mind at every moment of sense experience, lead to heedless thinking, lead to mental hindrance. That's why when you have mental hindrance, how can your mind be peaceful, aware? How can you enter the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness? That's why without yoniso manasikara, you cannot have mindfulness, the stability of it. Then without mindfulness, you cannot develop clear comprehension. Then according to the Buddha, the nutriment for initial wisdom or wise attention is faith in the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha. And the nutriment for faith in the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha is to have opportunity, time to listen to the true Dhamma, the teachings of the Buddha. Then the nutriment for this is you must have good Dhamma friends, association with good Dhamma friends, spiritual friends, and noble friends. So again, the last step is you must have Dhamma friends, or spiritual friends, or noble friends, or Kayamita. So Kayamita ship is very important. Everything starts from there. That's why Kayamita ship is a prerequisite needed to arrive at that path that ends with true knowledge and vision, vijja, leading to enlightenment. That is the reason why the Buddha clearly instructs us. We are saying to Ananda, Venerable Ananda, having Dhamma or spiritual friend and noble friends or Kayamita is 100% of the holy life. Hence, developing and promoting true Kayamita ship among all Buddhists within the Buddhist community is most important. So now we complete the whole of Avijja Sutta. Then as I promised you, I highlighted to you before we start, there are 9 steps in the Avijja sequence and 10 steps in the enlightenment sequence. So we will see where that missing link is. So we have summarized all the steps here on this chart, flow chart, for you to see. So this flow chart here is Avijja sequence. So this on your left hand side is Avijja sequence. So Avijja sequence, you realize there are 9. Out of these 9, you compare, the only one missing is step 9, the 7 factors of enlightenment. Where this one, under ignorance cycle, you don't have. If you have the 7 factor of enlightenment, it will be enlightenment cycle. That's where the missing link is. So the rest are mainly opposite. So ignorant, the final sequence, or the from the Avijja sequence, when you come down from the top, Avijja is ignorant. So the opposite of Avijja is Vijja. So on the enlightenment sequence, you saw the opposite, Vijja. Then enlightenment sequence needs 7 factor enlightenment to awaken. But ignorant you don't need. Ignorant you only need the 5 mental hindrance, the 3 way of right conduct, bad conduct. So you look at the opposite of 3 way of bad conduct is the 3 way of right conduct, or good conduct. Then the 5 mental hindrance, the opposite is the 4 foundation of mindfulness. Because if you don't have the mental hindrance, your mindfulness will be there and you can do the 4 foundation of mindfulness. But because of your mental hindrance, you cannot. Then the lack of sense restraint, the opposite is you have sense restraint, that is step 6. Then the lack of mindfulness and clear comprehension is the opposite, you have mindfulness and clear comprehension, so they are the same. Then the lack of initial wisdom, yoniso manasikara, the opposite is you have the initial wisdom, or yoniso manasikara. born of the first, second, and third turning, wisdom, wise attention or consideration at the moment of sense experience. Then the lack of faith, the opposite is having faith. Then not listening to the true Dhamma, the opposite is listening, opportunity time to listen to the true Dhamma. Then not having Dhamma friend, the opposite is having true Kayamitas or Dhamma friends. So now the two sequence, enlightenment sequence and the ignorance sequence, they become very clear when you put them side by side. And this enlightenment sequence is the best. So you have to start with Dhamma friends. So the avijja sequence, the ignorance sequence is you didn't have Dhamma friend, that's why you cannot start. So when you don't have Dhamma friend, the avijja sequence takes its course, not listening to the true Dhamma because you don't have Dhamma friends. You don't have spiritual friend. Whereas the actual enlightenment sequence has Dhamma friend. That's why they have opportunity time to listen to true Dhamma. So as Kayamita, we already have the first four, especially the first three. You have Kayamita friends. You have opportunity to listen to the true Dhamma. That's why we have our classes, our session, our website, our recording. Then you develop the faith in the Buddha Dhamma and the Sangha. So this first step, three steps, you must have as Dhamma friend. Then most Dhamma friend already have four step, either developing or already have. So this is initial wisdom, where you continuously listen to the Dhamma, reflect, contemplate, and inquire. You develop the initial wisdom. Then when the initial wisdom arises, your daily mindfulness and clear comprehension will surface. That's how you cultivate. And this step five is important. Once you finish step four and step five, the rest is relatively easy. So quite a number of Kayamita have already had the ability to move on from step four to step five. But step five, to develop it, to stabilize it, is not easy. The daily mindfulness and the clear comprehension. At the moment, I think there is only a handful, but still not bad, quite a number. Maybe less than 10 or about 10. And those who have, they understand what Sati Sampajana is, how they help them to actually understand things, see things clearly, deeply. And all the teaching that I teach you, you can only understand when you have a stable sati, when you have sati sampajana. Otherwise, you can't understand. And without the initial wisdom, the sati sampajana cannot come. So initial wisdom leading to sati sampajana is the key steps to enlightenment. So you can do this too. Then step 6 and 7 is automatic. It's a natural consequence. When sati sampajana stabilize, when the initial wisdom also stabilize, you will be able to have sense restraint. Means at the moment of sense experience, like seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile, or thought process, your mind will not simply stir and react, because you are no longer heedless. You are no longer deluded. So sense restraint become like automatic, which means you cannot break your precept anymore. So if you can be at step 6, sense restraint, when you cannot break your precept anymore, chances are you definitely become a first stage of sainthood, Sakadagami. Oh, sorry. Sotapanaship. That's why they say the Sotapan will keep the minimum 5%. They cannot break them. And because of that, they won't fall into the four woeful state. They will be born every life, human being and above. After you can have sense restraint, you can easily cultivate the three way of right conduct. When you have sense restraint means you cannot break precept already, then you can cultivate the right effort to cultivate the right thought, right speech, right action that are still not in you. Then the fourth, last right effort is to refine upon whatever right thought, right speech, right action that you have developed and perfect them until they become your virtue, until they become very stable, leading to the perfection of all the right thought, right speech, right action, and right way of living life. Then if you can do that, you would have become an enlightened being, Sakadagami, second stage of sainthood. Because at the second stage of sainthood, you would have the fourth and fifth fetters, which is sensual desire and greed, you have attenuated it and reduced by a lot already. That's why you cannot simply get angry and develop the desire, the sensual desire or lust and all those things. So sensual desire and ill will has been attenuated at this stage. And that's why the three way of right conduct, you can arise them. But when you move on to the fourth foundation of mindfulness, which is step 8, you would have developed the enlightenment factors of step 9, leading to awakening. That's why the last 5 factors, most of them you were clear until the last one, avijja. That's why when you do the four foundation of mindfulness, the minimum you can realize is anagami, the third stage of sainthood. It's stated in the four foundation of mindfulness. If there is still some fetters remaining, like minor conceit and avijja, then you will become an anagami. Otherwise, you straight away awaken and become arahanta, arahant, rooting out all the 10 fetters. First stage of sainthood is relatively easy. When you have the glimpse of nibbana, you understand that this form and mind is not you, dependent, originating, not a permanent, unchanging entity. Then you sever the first factor, which is sakkāditti, self-delusion. So when self-delusion is severed, the next two factors also will be severed. Faith in the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha will be severed too. In fact, that one, in the early stage, step 3, you already realize it. But that one has not stabilized, so it has not become power. So you need to realize the balas stage powers for you to realize the first stage of sainthood, sotapannaship. So these are all connected to the Avijja Sutta and the Buddha's teaching. So faith, which is to be developed, must be stable. When you have faith, your progress in the cultivation will be there. Your faith is the first enlightenment factor, spiritual faculty that you need to drive you to cultivate. That's why from sadha it lead to virya, virya lead to sati, samadhi lead to panya. Then you actually progress along the path of dhamma. So all these are very, very clear. So as a sotapan, when you sever the first fetters of self-delusion, sakkāditti, you will naturally know that there is no being inside there. There is no permanent unchanging entity within the form and mind. The form and mind is just a karmically conditioned vehicle and tool for you to come to this conditioned world, to live life, to develop the understanding of life. So all this are very useful understanding. Then the third factor is you no longer believe what people tell you, rites and ritual, like you die already, what happened. The person who say all this to you is deluded. That's why they cannot understand. So my daughter has located the 10 factors. This one is from Sister Ingbi. The 10 factors. Samyojana. Supo. Factors that bind the mind in the cycle of rebirth. Supo.
Supo. 思想导致重生的循环，十种障碍心结，将人束缚于轮回之中。
Yes, the ten factors that bind you to samsara existence. So the first one is sakkayaditi, self delusion. I've gone through. So there is this identification with the self, the personality, the form of mind, thinking that is real. Then skeptical doubt is you don't have faith in the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha. Then the third factor is you cling on to rites and ritual, grasping at not really precepts and practices. It's rites and ritual. When it become rigid, ritualistic, like every day you must chant, every day you must do this, every day you must do what? Then it becomes rigid. When you don't understand, you do without understanding, it becomes a rite and ritual. Like people say, you must note, you must verbalize, you must do this when you meditate. All this is not based on understanding. When you don't base it on understanding, it becomes rites and ritual, like ritualistic. Every day also must chant, but you chant without understanding. So no point. So rite and ritual is something that you need to understand. It should be rites and ritual. Grasping at rites and belief system, instead of practices. Belief system.
Later I clean it up.
Yeah. So clinging at mere rules and ritual, or rites and ritual, means grasping at rites and ritual. Ritual means your belief system, your whatever tradition and all those things. So these three were actually by living beings. But the first stage of sainthood, sotapannaship, is very easy, relatively easy. The moment you have a glimpse of nibbana, you will understand that the form of mind is not real. It's not a permanent, unchanging entity that you can grasp onto, cling onto, and hold onto. But that glimpse, you will know that the unconditioned, it's not a being. It cannot come out and live life. It's not what you think. So that understanding is very profound, very profound. But that glimpse can only arise when your wisdom has reached certain stage. When your understanding of truth means, especially the three universal characteristics of anicchang, dukkang, anatta. When you have insight into phenomena and awaken to the three universal characteristics, then if you were to contemplate, reflect, and stabilize the understanding until you are very, very stable in the understanding, then everything can be understood, like rupang anicchang, rupang anatta, vedana anicchang, vedana anatta, sanya anicchang, sanya anatta, then sankhara anicchang, sankhara anatta, vijnanang anicchang, vijnanang anatta. So the five aggregate of form and mind is impermanent, leading to suffering and non-self or empty nature, until this contemplation, reflection become very, very stable. Or sometimes you may have the stability of mindfulness to insight into phenomena, to awaken. And then all of a sudden you are ready. Then you will go through that glimpse of Nibbana, or moment of cessation. Sometimes they call it momentary cessation, the glimpse of Nibbana. But enough. Well, that is the one that can trigger off enlightenment, lead to what they call change of lineage. Change of lineage means from a Puttujana into an Arya. You are no longer a normal Puttujana. You have transformed and become an Arya. So that change of lineage is that single moment of cessation. Of course, no sound when it happened. It happened. I remember 1989, early part of 1989, when I was, I think, at a retreat in Sompo Temple. It was a 5-day retreat. And I went into that cessation. That was the first time. Then after that, I came out. I realized my mindfulness was very stable. Then throughout the day, I didn't talk. Almost the whole of the retreat, I hardly talked. And when I went through that cessation on the second day, I think later part of the second day, I start to understand many things. All the Dhamma, all the whatever teaching, like the understanding just arise by itself. Like my nature connected. And I start to understand many things. Then later on, when my mundane mind collapsed, I inherited everything from my spiritual nature. That's how all these things become possible. So this glimpse, one moment, momentary glimpse of Nibbana is very powerful, very, very powerful. And this is reachable by most cultivators who are sincere, not difficult. But you must reach at least step 5 leading to step 6 of Abhijja Sutta. Means you must finish step 4 and 5. Yoniso Manasikara, stabilize it. Then Sati Sampajana, also stabilize it. Then sense restraint. You will know during that time, you cannot break precept one. No way. Like I used to explain to you all, to break one precept, like so difficult. I used to give you the example, remember, to kill a mosquito. First, what is the first thing that happened for you to kill a mosquito? Yeah? You must understand that you have a habitual tendency or view that you develop. Means the aversion towards the insect, true or not? And the first thing that actually trigger off your senses is, in the early days, remember, when you hear that type of sound, or you see through your eye, or you cannot sting by the mosquito, then you spontaneously or habitually, you just react, or you just use your hand to on it or clap and try to kill it or try to clear it. So this is when you don't have the Dhamma, when you don't have sense restraint. That's why you will do that. But when you have sense restraint, you can't. When you have a stable mindfulness, you can't. Well, the first thing is at the moment of sense experience, when you hear that zzz, or when you actually saw that mosquito coming, or when tactile, you feel they bite you, the initial wisdom will come out. And you are sensitive, your mindfulness, you already know they are coming. Then at the moment of sense experience, you cannot react anymore. Where you have the initial wisdom, they are just the way they are. They are also like you, looking for food. This is their survival. And you are in the environment where there is mosquito, especially dark places and in the forest or what, mosquito will be there. These are the conditions. So the understanding will not make you react, will not make you stir your mind, that ability. Then you will have love, compassion, and you can wish them well-being. Sometimes you donate dana, then you wish them, may you be well and happy. May the blessing of the triple gem be with you. Or at the most, you just shoo it off. You try to move it away from your body. Then like the monks, I think they use this mosquito netting. They call it the cloth. That's why they hang it out when they want to meditate. Or mosquito netting to keep them away. That's why the Buddha said, the rope is to keep you warm, to keep your body away from the insects, the flies, and all these things. Then you can have the cloth, the mosquito netting. So all this in the teaching. So coming back to breaking precept, there is no way because you are mindful. Then the first thing that can happen is you see it, you hear it, or you sense, tactilely feel it. Then the initial wisdom will come about. Then there is sense restraint, and you cannot kill anymore because you undertake the training rule not to kill or harm, and you cannot do. Then let's say your mindfulness not so stable. You didn't have the ability to be sensitive, to see all this. So what happened? Let's say, before you become enlightened, you have this intention to kill the mosquito, which to you is a nuisance. So what must you do? That intention will arise. If you are really a sotapan, how can that type of intention arise? Impossible, isn't it? Let's say, before you become a sotapan, that intention arise. Then what is the next action? You have to move your hand, isn't it? To kill, isn't it? Or to strike that mosquito, isn't it? When your hand moves, you have kaya upasana, you will see, isn't it? You will be mindful of it, isn't it? Then before you hit, if throughout also you are not mindful, it means you are heedless. You are really, really heedless. You lack sensitivity, you lack mindfulness. Then at the moment when you hit, for you to harm or kill, you must be very accurate. So means the mosquito still there. Most of the time you miss, isn't it? So many stages, mental intention, so many happening, movement of hand, everything. If all this also you are not mindful and aware, no wonder you are heedless. That's why you don't have sense restraint. You don't have stability or mindfulness, sati sampajana, and you don't have initial wisdom. That's why without step 4, 5, and 6, you sure break your precept. That's why sotapan onward, you cannot break your precept. Really. It's impossible. So that time I remember I went through, you become a totally different person. You will do things that other people will not do. Where you're incapable of negativity. Because of your sensitivity of mind, your initial wisdom, your mindfulness, then your sense restraint. Then you keep on cultivating Noble Eightfold Path, the three way of right conduct. Then after that, when you have all this understanding, the four foundation of mindfulness, I realize it become very easy. That's why when I read the sutta, I straight away understand what the sutta say and what they teach. And all this, most of them are not in the book. You can go through that four foundation of mindfulness sharing and Wu Ping Jing Se. It's all in the website. It's recorded. Then at that time, I remember there were a few very very good students, and they are full of it and all those things. That time, the condition was such, the sharing was so beautiful. The last chapter, the last day of the sharing, that talk came out in the form of a book, a yellow book, The Four Foundations of Mindfulness, a final summary. I read that book. That book summarizes all the cultivation and the practice. And that time, especially in Bishi, you know, that teaching, the book cannot explain one. That's why we went through all those things. So all this teaching, if you really develop the cultivation correctly, it will fall into place. You will understand. That's why the Avijja Sutta is the best chant, the 10 steps. Even the ignorance sequence, the 9 steps or stages. You will know. You will understand it very clearly. Then why, at what stage, you develop what type of enlightenment? My daughter want to share something. Right?
The mosquito example actually is a good example to illustrate the awareness of our thoughts, which will be very important, because my dad made it very simple, that process before we move to take action. Actually, the thought process before it happens, there's many, many layers of our belief system that arises when we hear the sound of a mosquito. It will be like you hear that buzzing, then your brain actually match across everything you remember and you identify it's a mosquito. Mosquito, then you relate it to danger. Danger, you relate it to dengue.
Malaria.
This all happens in a split second. If you can see your thought, your citta upasana, you will see all this happening. And then you go on to take action. When your mental intention come out, you see if it's flying in front of you, you want to clap. If it's on your hand, you want to snap your hand. If it's on the leg, maybe you step on it. Or if it is a lot, you might want to pick up something to sweat. You know, so all these happen in your mind, and you choose one and you take action. All these happen, and if you don't know, you have no awareness,
very good.
Mindfulness.
Very good. That's why my daughter, because she also developed the ability to be mindful, and she saw. Then what she explained is very good. I will add in a little bit more. When you take action, you check what is your action based on. Will that thought tell you, can get malaria or no? Can get dengue or no? Especially nowadays, dengue so common in some Subang area, especially a lot of hotspot, PJ. So that fear, that insecurity leads to that action to kill. That is selfishness. That is evil. But when you have the initial wisdom, the sensitivity, the mindfulness, the clear understanding of the law of karma, you cannot, because whatever you do, this one is something I want to add, which a lot of people don't understand. You see, when you kill a mosquito, you better remember this. You think it's a small entity, a very small insect. Maybe they will teach you. You kill 1,000, it's the karma is not as bad as killing one human being. You may think it's like that. But I can warn you, if you do that, your karmic friction when it comes, you better be careful. Why? Because the tendency for us to kill mosquito when we don't understand in the early days is what? We smash it on the sun. Do you realize if you are sensitive, you can feel the amount of fear, the intensity of shock and fear that mosquito, that small fellow go through. And in future, you will also die the same way, understand? Maybe through car accident, road accident, or plane accident, or whatever accident. People may just see for you or expose you up. In the state of shock, in the state of intense fear. So this is the understanding part. It's how you cause that fear. Well, I saw it from the very simple situation, because at that time I was in a house helping somebody to clean up the house. Then I went into the store underneath the staircase. The store, the staircase was actually dark. Then I asked for the switch. Then they told me where. So I on the switch. Then I saw inside termites, a lot of ants. Then I had to clear it. So I slowly, slowly sweep it out. Then as I sweep, do you know, I tried my very best to be as light as possible. But our broom, we are like giant now. When it sweep, I saw the ants like blown and fly. Then I can sense the fear of that small fellow. Straight away, I stop. I don't want to sweep anymore. I get something else to actually clear it, like a small dustbin, or sweep it in a very slow manner. But that fear that you create actually become karmic. You may not have killed or what. So all these are the sensitivity of the mind that has transformed, that has the initial wisdom and the understanding, and it's sensitive, it can feel them, it can understand them. That's why all this is what the Dhamma is. It's become very different. It's not what you think. These are not taught, not written in the book. Nobody can teach you unless that being, the cultivator, has gone through those stages and sensitivity of mind development for them to understand. I realize most of the teaching are very theoretical, thought-based, knowledge-based, scholar type. Then they base it on commentaries, not true personal experience or realization and awakening. That's the reason why most of the teaching are not effective, not potent, doesn't have the potency to transform living being anymore, cultivator anymore. So this is the part that I want to share. So we should rejoice. Thanks to my daughter also. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, I will move on to the last appendix, appendix 9. This one I have to rush through it a bit faster. Otherwise we can't finish. I only have 6 more minutes. Okay, this one, I think appendix 9 we have gone through. The 3 turnings of the Four Noble Truth. Since there are 4 truths, 4 times 3, there are 12 modes of the Four Noble Truth as proclaimed by the Buddha. Towards the far end is the 3 phases of Dhamma. Then we have the first Noble Truth, second Noble Truth, third Noble Truth, fourth Noble Truth. So the first column is first turning, second turning, and third turning, wisdom. So first turning wisdom is termed Sutamaya Panya. Wisdom born of hearing the sutta or Dhamma as taught by the Buddha or as proclaimed by the Buddha. So first Noble Truth, hearing or listening or reading of the first Noble Truth as proclaimed by the Buddha. The Buddha proclaimed this bhikkhu is the first Noble Truth of dukkha. Birth is dukkha, aging is dukkha, sickness and disease is dukkha, death or separation is dukkha. To be with people whom you don't like is dukkha. Separation from your loved one and your prized possession is also dukkha. Not able to get what one desires is also dukkha. In brief, in summary, this 5 aggregate of form and mind, rupa, vedana, sanya, sankara, and vinyana, which are the object of clinging and grasping, are dukkha, upadana, khandas. Then second noble truth, the Buddha said, the first turning, also through hearing, listening, and reading up on the book or internet or whatever. The second noble truth, the Buddha proclaimed, this bhikkhu is the second noble truth of the cause of arising of dukkha. It is this craving which causes rebirth, bound up with pleasure and lust, ever seeking fresh delight, now here, now there, namely craving for the senses, sensual desire or sensual pleasure, craving to be or for existence, and craving not to be or for non-existence. So when you hear this, you develop the first turning wisdom, the cause of arising or suffering, which is craving, born of self-delusion. Then third noble truth is the same, through hearing, listening, and reading. Then the Buddha said, this bhikkhu is the third noble truth of the cessation of dukkha. It is the complete cessation, giving up, abandoning of that craving, complete release from that craving, and complete detachment from it, leading to the realization of nibbana, which is the enlightenment in the here and the now. So under this third turning, you must know that there is a noble truth that tells you suffering may not be enlightenment in the here and the now, nibbana can be realized. Nibbana is possible. Then the fourth noble truth, the Buddha again said, there is this fourth noble truth as proclaimed by the Buddha. This bhikkhu is the noble truth of the path leading to the end of all suffering or cessation of dukkha, namely noble eightfold path. They are right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, and right living, plus right effort, right mindfulness, and right samadhi. So this is the first turning wisdom. So under Pariyatti, the learning of the teaching involves learning of the teaching via the first and second turning wisdom. So first turning wisdom, Sutamaya Panya, can be developed via hearing the sutta as shared by someone who understands the teaching, or listening to appropriate Dhamma recordings, MP3, CD, video, audio, etc. Then reading of Dhamma books or notes or online material as shared by someone who has the understanding of the teaching. Then second turning is Chintamaya Panya, can be developed via contemplation, reflection, and inquiry into the Dhamma as taught by the Buddha to develop the further understanding via stabilizing what one has heard or read about, then assimilating them into one's mind to set the base for developing further understanding later on via either first, second, or third turning wisdom. Then I will go to the second turning. Second turning is Chintamaya Panya, wisdom born of reflection, inquiry, and contemplation into the Dhamma as proclaimed by the Buddha. First noble truth, you must contemplate, reflect, and inquire into the first noble truth. Why did the Buddha say this noble truth or dukkha is to be understood? The key word is understood. So from this inquiry, you will get an answer. If you don't understand this noble truth of dukkha, the first noble truth is eight condition, the eight reality of life and existence, what will happen to you? You will suffer without knowing that you suffer, and those are suffering. Without wisdom, when you confront them, you suffer. Then, second noble truth, you must inquire, why did the Buddha say the cause of arising of suffering is craving? And this craving is to be abandoned. If I don't abandon, why? How? What will happen to me? If you don't abandon, you will have suffering. Where this is the cause of arising of suffering. Then the next question is, how do I abandon it? So all this continue. And third number two, this cessation of dukkha is to be realized. The question is, why must I realize it? Otherwise, I cannot become enlightened. So this is very beautiful. Then how can I develop the ability to realize? Cultivate number eightfold path. Follow the training as taught by the Buddha. Develop heedfulness. Then cultivate noble eightfold path. Then fourth noble truth, contemplate, reflect, and inquire into the fourth noble truth. The Buddha proclaimed, the noble eightfold path that leads to the end of suffering is to be cultivated. So all the four truths, the emphasis is different. Why did the Buddha say this noble eightfold path is to be cultivated? If you don't cultivate, what happened? It remains not as knowledge, understand or not. It cannot help you. Knowledge cannot free you. You must cultivate until it becomes a part of you. It becomes wisdom, understanding that is connected to your nature. That's why the second turning is when you reflect, contemplate, and inquire, it will lead to the stability of understanding, the second turning wisdom. Then the next page is the third turning. The third turning, the Buddha say is Buddha, Bhavana Maya Panya, wisdom born of meditative training, via the direct seeing or awakening. Bhavana is meditative training. So the direct seeing leading to realization. The Buddha said, this noble truth of dukkha has already been understood. Means what? The turning is all about enlightenment. Means you understand the first noble truth, the eighth reality. Then you understand the cause of arising or suffering, the second noble truth. Then you understand the cessation of suffering, the third noble truth. Then you understand, yeah, you have cultivated, sorry. All these are, wait, never mind, I use my hand easier. So the first one is to be understood. So if you have understood, means you understand the fourth noble truth. Then you will awaken. Second noble truth, he said, this cause of arising of dukkha, which is craving, has to be abandoned. Means root it out. If you can root it out, means you have the wisdom. You also awaken. That's why all this turning is direct seeing, awakening. Then third noble truth, the cessation of dukkha has already been realized. Means you already realize the unconditioned nibbana. That's why you will be enlightened. Then the final fourth noble truth is a direct seeing leading to realization. This noble eightfold path that leads to the end of all suffering has already been cultivated, which means you have completed the training, the cultivation. So all these are very beautiful. Then phase two, patipatti. Patipatti involves the cultivation of the teaching in daily life. We are putting the teaching into practice or cultivation to develop the third turning wisdom, bhavana maya panya. Bhavana is the meditative training needed to develop wisdom via the former daily mindfulness and four foundational mindfulness cultivation. Having a daily religious routine to develop the five spiritual faculty will help. So this daily religious routine, like I say, you must not be rigid about it and so on. You should try your very best to adhere to it so that you develop the continuous training. You develop it through faith and sincerity and diligently. But you must not be rigid until if you miss out one day or sometimes you are not free or you are sick or what, then you start to like have fear, I must not do it because today I didn't do my routine. Please, don't be foolish. If you do that, it become lack of understanding. It become right and ritual and so on. Because you think this one brother Theo say what you must do. No, you must do with understanding. You try your very best when you are not sick, when you are not tired, when you have the condition. You try your very best to do, and you must have sincerity, you must have faith, then just persevere. Then all this will fall into place. Don't worry when you are sick or not able to do it. It's okay. You can do it when you are normal again, when you recover from your sickness. So this is for understanding. Then need to cultivate until one is awakened to move on to the third phase of Dhamma. Third phase of Dhamma is the most beautiful. Third phase of Dhamma is Pativeda. This phase of Dhamma is to reap the fruit of one's cultivation. Means you are able to lead a noble life of an enlightened being. Live the life of an awakened one. So the characteristic of this is very beautiful. No, this is the most beautiful phase of one's life where one can truly live life to the fullest, to experience all of the noble life as described below. Life becomes much more meaningful and good because no more suffering. True or not, if you have no more suffering, that is the best part of your life, isn't it? Then you are able to understand life clearly. Hence, there is a lot of joy, a lot of happiness, a lot of peace, tranquility, love, and compassion. That's how you become beautiful. You become different. Then via heedful living, one is able to experience all of the wonders and beauties of life while in this world. Then one is able to act righteously with wisdom, love and compassion. Then you are always heedful to live the noble life of peace, joy and happiness. Hence, no more heedlessness. Then you are able to live life in accordance with one's noble understanding. Hence, no more need to worry about life anymore. Then you are always very mindful of one's action, speech and thought process. We are living the noble life of heedfulness. Then you understand precisely that this form and mind is not oneself, but only a karmically conditioned vehicle and tool for one to use to live out this segmented life while in this world, this conditioned world. So this end, the whole of the Heart Sutta sharing, and I think we should rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Since today is the last lesson of our sharing of the Heart Sutta, we will make this second session into an informal one. So like the Zoom video, everybody who wants to come in can just come in. You may ask questions or you may share whatever you want about the whole Heart Sutta.
I just wonder, are we using the Infinite Sutras, the book sutra after this?
Infinite Meaning, yes, yeah. Yes, we'll be using the book. The Sutra of Infinite Meaning, Wu Liang Yi Ji.
Okay,
so that will be our next book.
But then I only can maybe just tell a little bit of my meditation practice.
Okay, you can share whatever you have benefited or gained from it.
Few days ago I got a book from this brother Sui An.
Yes, is it the Metta Bhavana book?
Yes
And the chanting book.
I was learning from him how to with the practice of meditation. Then he explained to me, he gave me a very good guideline on the... When you practice the metta, you must really have the feeling.
You must not be like a parroting. No meaning, or verbalize the word, no meaning. You must feel it. Especially when you start to chant or recite. You may be silent inside. May I, this body and mind of mine. You must feel your entire body and mind having that well-being and happiness. Means each and every cells within your body having that well-being and happiness. And this will boost up your immune system. It will improve your vibration, especially when your metta is strong. Every moment of recitation, that metta, that love, that compassion, that understanding, that very pure vibration goes in, and your cells will feel it. Then when you recite well and happy, you mean it. You have that feeling. It's just like people sing with feeling and emotion. That thing really go in, and it will have that type of vibration that make your cells having the well-being and happiness. If each and every cells within you have this well-being and happiness, it will transform. It will become beautiful. Then it will boost the immune system because they are all connected as one. Then all the negative energy of fear, stress, unhappiness that normal people who don't have the Dhamma tend to hold on to. That's why they develop disease, sickness, because their fear, their worry, their anxiety, their insecurity. And all these are negative energy field. This energy, negative energy field, they condition your cells to actually mutate and become weak, degenerate. Then your immune system will be affected. That's how you all succumb to disease. and all those things. So for you to overcome it, you must reverse all this negative mind state tendency. I already explained to you, no amount of fear, worry, and anxiety can help you solve your problem or recover to good mind state or to heal yourself. The only way is to cultivate metta, loving kindness, be sincere, have faith, so that all this calmness, peacefulness, love, and metta energy can really go in. That way you can open up your heart and radiate this love to other beings. May my loved ones too, or my good friend, my neighbor, may the doctors, may the nurses, the frontliner, may they all to be well and happy, in good health, helping people. And may the blessing of the Triple Gem to be with all beings. And may all beings be well and happy. Feel it. That as you radiate, as you cultivate this metta bhavana, your mind state become more and more sincere, more and more with the faith. Then one day, all of a sudden, you realize you are no longer unhappy. You are no longer sick. You have this love, this joy, this pure energy, the pure love, the metta, which is a very powerful purifying force that will purify your mind state. With that, it will purify your cells, boost up your immune system. Then later on, you will cultivate, avoid all evil, keep precept, develop all the wholesomeness of cultivation, means you attend the class, share merit, transfer merit, pre-puja, post-puja. You develop all the 10 meritorious action. With your merits, you can make aspiration. By the power of whatever merits that I have cultivated since the day I started this cultivation, after I have understood the Dhamma, may arise the causes and condition for this body and mind of mine to return to good health, so that it can have the condition for me to gain back my life, so that I can live longer to cultivate, to bring about better life for myself, my loved ones, and my family member, so that I can truly be a blessing to all when I recover. So you do this, it will heal you. It will actually bring about a great transformation. Then you follow what I say, learn to meditate, learn to stabilize your awareness. Again, you will heal because these are pure energy. So this is how you can benefit and gain from the Dhamma, from the Buddha's teaching. So hopefully, with this, since it's recorded, it will help you, David. Go back, listen to this again and again. Mm-hmm. Okay? So, yeah. Hopefully.
But first day, I started this few days ago, then with the metta and with feeling and totally relaxed.
Very good.
Follow the, four persons. But surprising, very good. Because immediately after that, I switched over to awareness.
Very easy to meditate.
Peaceful, very calm.
I've been trying for a few days.
Every day is like that.
Yes, metta is very powerful. It's a very good meditative, positive energy mind state that can make you calm and peaceful. But when you have metta, you cannot have fear, worry, anxiety, and all the opposite negative mind state. That's why when you start with that, it's like deconditioning your habitual tendency from heedlessness to a very, very pure, heedful way of developing that universal love, that pure love. Then that love can manifest because you radiate to all, not only yourself. You start by radiating it to yourself, love yourself. You don't have love, how can you radiate love? So all these are in the book. That's why it helped me a lot in the early days. the early 80s when I received the book. That's why I cherish it so much, and I decided to rewrite the book, because the two book and combine into one. There's somebody asked me some questions, then I recall how it had benefited it. Then I was thinking it will benefit cultivator too. Well, this was what I started. I started with metta, and my mind stayed very powerful, very peaceful, very calm. My metta was so potent, so different. I reached the final stage of metta where I no need to do anything. There is metta from my heart. There's a very soothing energy that come out. The first stage of metta is, of course, you verbalize. Yeah? You verbalize. Yeah? Maybe some parroting, but you verbalize. Then you can't really put your feeling inside. The second stage is you put your feeling inside. Then you feel that metta, yeah, developing. Then after your metta developed, you can wheel it out, radiate to people. When you have metta, like overflowing, you can wheel it out. Then it can reach all beings, whoever you want to radiate to. And this is very powerful. It can help people. Then after that, finally, when you have the cultivation, when you have the understanding, then metta naturally flow from your heart. During that time, there's a very soothing metta energy that come out. Very, very soothing. That one animal can feel you, the non-human can feel you. And a lot of this being that is having this calm and tranquil mind, they can feel you. Even cultivator, they can feel you. I have met one monk, actually more than one, 2 or 3 months. Their metta are very powerful. When I near them, I can feel them. Then there was one also, one of them was my teacher, Ajahn Yantra. His metta are very powerful. Great loving kindness when he speak the Dhamma. He said, this nature have great loving kindness. Nature just giving. And that metta that come out, I can feel. That's why later on when I share the Dhamma, that metta also come out from my nature. Then there's another monk, Achangana. Oh, they call him the Laughing Buddha. He always smiles. He always use the Thai word Chai Di, Chai Sabai, Sabai, Sabai. Whenever he see you, he smile like a Laughing Buddha. Chai is mind, Di is good. Chai Di, Chai Sabai, Sabai means very good, very, very good. So he every time use this word, then his metta very strong. He has this power, the hand. You can see on the video. He always put his hand in the cross legged sitting position when he radiate metta. Well, his right hand, that metta force very powerful. I didn't know until one day. Then I was making offering to him and the Sangha of his at this Cameron Highland. I think it's Sampo Temple, if I'm not wrong. Then I was paying my respect to him after I offered. Oh, I saw his hand down there. He was smiling with the metta coming in. And I can feel, you know, it's like the whole lot of metta for engulfed my whole body, you know. Wow, I rejoice. Then I say, Sadhu, Sadhu. I have never seen a metaphor so powerful. It came from him and it engulfed my whole body, the whole vibration. That's why people who cultivate metta, they are able to do all this very, very beautiful metta. So the third stage is you no need to will, it will flow from your heart. That is the third stage. So have faith, be sincere, diligently do, and let it transform. That's why I told you, don't ask questions, don't try to know, just do. Then when it happens, you will know yourself, the benefit and all things. So if you have faith, you will recover whatever, sickness or disease or whatever, you will recover. Okay, David?
One more question. until your book instruction on the metta, the fourth person, you somebody you don't like, you dislike. I don't have much. I don't think I can think of anyone I dislike, because you know, I always remind myself, you know, to give a precept and.
You must.
How understand. Do I go to
you
the
must fourth understand, one? David. You cannot be a perfect human being. My daughter also has something to share. There must be somebody in your life that has hurt you or done something to you, maybe when you were young or whatever. Or you may have certain form of dislike or misunderstanding or enmity or whatever. That is bound to be, otherwise you won't end up the way you are. Then there are moments when you are really unhappy, maybe unhappy with yourself. This is not loving yourself, understand or not? Do you see that? When you have fear, insecurity, when you are not happy, you are actually torturing yourself. You don't love yourself. So you lack love, understand or not? So that's why you have to redate this love to yourself. Then you have to redate this love to people whom you don't like. Don't like means somebody you don't know. Maybe your neighbor, not friendly or whatever. Or your colleague. Or somebody that has maybe harmed you or hurt you before. Or cheated on you before. Or did something bad to you before. So there are occasions where you have this dislike for him. Or you don't like to be near him. But because you are not mindful, you are not sensitive, that's why you think, I don't have anybody whom I don't like. You go and check. If you really don't have anybody whom you don't like, then you must be a saint. It's not easy, truly. Wait, my daughter has something to share.
Hi, David. Maybe this will help. Because for me, first thing I thought about was when I read the news a lot. The shooting in Vienna, the politicians, Western, local, all these, I would want to wish them well, wish them honesty, kindness, wish them to do good in the position that they are, the position of power that they have. They can actually make a big difference if they feel for the people. So that for me, that is how I would go about that fourth person. See if this helps you, brings a new perspective into things that we disagree. Not necessarily don't like in life. Make peace with things that we disagree in the world we are a part of. Yeah.
Okay, David?
Anyway, I want to say, no, thank you, Brother Teo. You asked me to go and see Brother Sri An, and I think that I appreciate very much, because he really is is a very helpful and he spent more than two to three hours just tell me this, talk to me and all these things.
Yeah, you know, you must have gratitude. You must thank your good karma.
Yeah.
Otherwise, this thing won't happen. That's why initially I remember you replied to me, is it, I can't get hold of Sui An.
Yeah.
When I received that message, do you know what I was having in my I say it depends on your karma.
Yeah.
Your karma is like that. Because Sui An, most of the time, is on WhatsApp one. He 100%, very fast, he replied to me on. So I was thinking maybe there is no condition, no affinity for you. But then later on, you wanted to call me at 1:30 to actually discuss the thing.
Yeah.
Then you say you are at Sri Yan's house. Then I know you have affinity. That's why I was willing to speak to you. But when you say you want to come over to my house, I say, no, you are not ready. Because you haven't even really understood what I share with you, what I want you to do. That's why I say, you better don't come. So now, hopefully, you understand. This is not to say that I feel offended or upset or not. No, nobody can make me do that. It's your life. You have to understand. If you don't have the condition, I have to do my part. And my part is very simple. Because I can see you don't understand. You keep on going back to the old way of thinking. Means this old way of habitual thinking that give rise to the wrong thought that condition your fear, your insecurity, your lack of confidence and faith is the cause of your suffering and misery. And you keep on going back to that. So I have to warn you. How many times must I repeat all this? You know, this is not relevant. You came to me to seek advice because you have a situation. Do you understand?
Yes.
So that situation needs somebody who is sincere, have faith, to listen, understand, and try. You didn't even listen, didn't even understand, didn't even want to try. You keep on want to tell me what you want to tell me, which is your habitual tendency. You keep on telling me about the doctor say what, the consultant, then your fear, your worry, all this has no bearing. These are not relevant, not important, because these are wrong thoughts that condition your fear, worry, anxiety, insecurity. Then my message to you is very clear. Always remember, do not fear. No amount of fear, worry, anxiety, insecurity, sorrow, and lamentation can help you solve your problem. You can only solve your problem with understanding, with a calm mind, with faith, with clarity, with sincerity. Then persevere, just do, don't try to know. So now, hopefully with this condition, you can understand. You are lucky because the condition fall into place. Do you know why Ananda picked you or not? It's not very wise. No, because the condition is such, today is the last sutta class.
Oh.
That's why I opened it up. And it happened to be you. I never choose.
Yeah.
I never even expect, but it happened to be you.
Yeah.
And it means you have your good condition and roots. Yeah. Make full use of this. Have faith. Be sincere. Hopefully this time the message sinks in. Don't go back to your old way. Well, your old way is a proven wrong way. It doesn't help you. It causes you so much suffering. You still want to go back to that habitual way of doing things. No, for you to come out of it, to recover, you have to change. Change for the better. Follow the Dhamma way. Read through what I advise you. Understand it. And just do. So if you can do that, I guarantee you, you will recover. You will be beautiful.
Thank you. Okay? It's very effective, actually. I'm following your method. But I must say, thank you, Brother Teo, and especially Brother Sian. After I learned the metta with feeling, because is very, after you do the metta, then you switch over to the awareness. When the alarm ring, you still feel peaceful and you still can continue.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have this. This is something that very seldom I experience it.
Yeah, and this is just the beginning. That's why I say do.
Yeah.
Don't ask questions. Yeah, you ask so many questions. And I tell you, in the reply, not now, you're wasting your time, just do. Experience that metta, experience that calmness, that stillness, that awareness. Well, these are very positive. This will transform you and give you the good condition to inherit your good past karmic conditioning. That's why you can be what you are now. But this is just the beginning. Do not be complacent. Like after that or neglect, then go back to your old way. The danger of complacency is when you think you recover already, you go back to your old way. Then you know what happened? The relapse when it comes, nobody can help you. Not even the Dhamma, I can tell you. When it relapses, very difficult. Because you have been given the chance. And if that chance, you miss it. That's it. So nature is just the way it is. Hopefully you understand. Huh?
Yes,
so
yes,
count your good blessing, have gratitude, and do. Be sincere, have faith. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you.
Sadhu, let us rejoice. So today I think it's good sharing. Later it is 10:37. I think we should end. So we should thank everybody who share, especially Ananda for picking David, then asking which book is next. The book, the sutra in numerous meaning, Wu Liang Yi Jing, you can get it from Ciji, the bookshop, I think. Okay, so you don't have the book also, don't worry. My daughter will use this to share. This is the book. But if you want to have a copy, maybe you go and buy. I think it's not that expensive. I forgot the price already. You have to ask. If you want people to help you order, you can ask for Christina. Christina can get you the book, or Yun Chan also should be able to get you the book. Those who work for Ciji or help out at Ciji can get it for you. Okay.